Hey, welcome to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. This is Jimmy Carboni of Jimmy's Number 43 and the Good Beer Seal. This is a very special show we're recording in January 2015 with Pekka Kirin of Lammin Sati, the famous sati maker from Finland, which is a very unusual brew, and he came to the States to make a special batch in Connecticut at the Be United compound. So there's going to be a special release this week in New York City at select bars. That's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about the background of Sati. We have some great guests. In addition to Pekka, we have Mary and Chris from Ferment About It, the other show on Heritage Radio Network, and they're going to get deep into some homebrew recipes, and George and Michael from Be United to provide some background. So here's the show. Jack, you're in the studio. Welcome to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. We're talking with Pekka Kirin, the Lammin Sati maker from Finland. Pekka, welcome to the United States.
Very well. Thank you.
Thanks, man. You know, it's interesting to meet someone from Finland. I've only had the Sinebrykoff beers before. Otherwise, I don't know anything else about Finland in beer and cultures.
That's bad, because the growth of the small breweries is quite high. Also, we have a good wave about the small breweries also now in Finland. And I'm looking forward. We are backwards in if we are thinking about the USA, but anyhow, it's growing, and that's good.
So what is sati? Is it a traditional brew?
Yeah, it's the oldest style of the Finnish beer, and also very old style of the beer and how to brew it. It's ancient beer, you can say it, because it's coming behind thousands of years, and it has been teached to from mother to daughter and from father to sons and so on. And I was 14 when I started to brew it, and it was Sasta in the neighborhood was a little bit older guy than I was, and he invited me to help him, and afterward I started to do my own, and he came to help me. And that was the beginning. I was very young, and I was very keen to make, especially to make it, of course drinking too, but that was the main purpose, is to make the good sati.
I mean, I've read a little bit about the sati. That's how you say it? Sati?
Sati is the right name. I think it's worldwide, it's the same name. And it's used to made from the barleys, malted in the houses, land houses themselves. They were also drying it in the smoke sauna, so you got some smoke taste also for it. And in some areas they are using rye malt, except of course it's barley based, but some wheat malts also. And we are using old juniper, Finnish juniper, and the branches under the in Lautotan, and to give the taste of juniper. And it's fermenting with the baker's yeast. That's all collected yeast, as we say, but nowadays we got that baker's yeast is the how it start to fermenting.
So sati was made in Finland for many years,
going back thousands of years. So long time they have been growing barley in Finland. And it's celebration beer also. It's mostly made for some celebration like Christmas and Midsummer and when you have some birthdays or weddings or even funerals.
Special funeral sati.
Yeah, it belongs also there. It is when you are serving some food. But it's not all over in Finland. It's only in two areas in Finland. I call it it is a Sahti Finland area, because it used to be before in whole country, but nowadays it's only in some parts where the culture is still living.
So when did you start making sati professionally?
Professionally, I started this 1985 and I got the license 1986, and the first start was 1987. That is 30 years ago we started to do the official sati in Lammin Sati Limited.
And then for how long, was there no one making sati commercially in Finland for a long time?
No, officially not. There are, of course, there used to be a culture that they make for the French, as they are still making it, and that means that the other brewers have a little bit more friends than the others. And of course they were not paying any taxes, or the authorities has nothing to do with it. It's really came from the culture, but it is also legal to do it at home even today, but you are not able to sell it then for the selling you have to have the license. I was the first who got the license in Finland.
You know, in fact, I don't think I've ever tasted it. Some of your reps, and George and Michael, what is Sati like flavor-wise?
What surprised me the most about it was it's the phenolic character that comes from the baker's yeast. And we also had a block of baker's yeast at the OAC brewery where we were brewing it, so we had the opportunity to actually taste this yeast. And these phenols are really reminiscent of banana, wouldn't you say, George?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's quite intense. The juniper is obviously quite present as well. But I think everyone tasting it there that day, it was the banana phenol character that really seemed to dominate. And the baker's yeast ferments the beer quite aggressively and gives off, obviously, all these phenols.
Online I read that it tastes like kind of like a Weiss beer in that sense.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's quite a big body as well, but not like the carbonation, say, of a Weiss beer, more of you just feel the thickness of the liquid
like
on the
banana
palate.
Of like a half a Weiss.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
And why is that the case? What makes them have similar...
I just think it's the yeast has these unique esters that it gives off similar to a Weiss beer yeast.
It also ferments very quickly as well, which gives off a lot of those flavors, and they don't really dissipate at all. I mean, they stay in the beer because it ferments so quickly. We brewed this beer, what day was it? We brewed
Monday.
Monday, and it took about 48 hours, roughly, for primary fermentation to be done. I mean, the baker's yeast will ferment up to 7%, and then it just sort of dies off.
So this is a real big deal. So Pekka came from Finland. He made a special batch of Sati in Connecticut.
He also shipped this baker's yeast from Finland to Connecticut specifically for the fermentation of this liquid.
Yeah. And what's the plan for the Sati? Is it going to be released in New York?
Yeah, of course. One of the reasons we had Pekka come here instead of shipping it from him is because of the incredibly short shelf life of the Sati. Without being, as you've heard, there's no hops that are in this brew. So it can go badly rather quickly. Once we did do a shipment of bottles, I think it was maybe 4 years ago, we had a very limited number of bottles that came and were sold only to customers that were in close vicinity to our warehouse in Connecticut. But the idea of bringing Pekka here was that we could brew a Sati as fresh as possible at our facility and then release it to customers in the freshest state possible. And we're telling all of our customers that receive these kegs that once it arrives, it goes right into the cold box and it has to be tapped immediately.
So you think probably maybe the second week of February?
That's what it looks like right now, yeah.
And do you know any of the bars that will be carrying this in New York City?
There are, yeah, plenty. Shall I list a few? I know that.
Yeah, go for it. I'd like to carry
Jimmy's,
that.
Jimmy's, I think,
it's Sati.
Deserves a keg indeed. I know Proletariat will have some. Taurus, Gingerman's getting some. Cannibal will have some kegs. The Owl Farm asked for one.
So the idea is we'll tap it and we should go through it in one night or as soon as possible.
It being in the cold box, I don't think it necessarily needs to be finished that evening. It'll be okay on draft for a few days, but hopefully bars aren't sitting on it until March.
Put it we'll keep track on the goodbeerseal.com. We'll let you know. We'll be the Sati tracker, the Santa tracker. He came down from Finland, the Sati tracker. And some other great friends here. We got Chris and Mary from Ferment About It. They're great fermenting homebrew show on Heritage Radio Network. Welcome to the show, guys.
Ferment About It.
You know, when we knew that originally we were going to go up to Connecticut and interview Sati, Mr. Sati Pekka, he was making the beer on Monday, but there was this great storm, Juno storm, you know. So we're here in the back room of Jimmy's number 43 doing a special recording. But I wanted to have Chris and Mary come in because they're our expert kind of tasters as well as brewers. And Mary, number one, you've got your book coming out.
Yep.
And what's the name of the book?
Speed Brewing.
Speed Brewing, available on Amazon for pre-order, right?
Yes, it'll be out in June.
So what different types of fermented beverages did you give recipes for? Because this is kind of like a really important book that's coming out.
Let's hope so. I think it is. So Speed Brewing is, it's all about fast fermented alcoholic beverages. So I did not have a Sati recipe, but I haven't made a Sati. I've had Sati, homebrewed Sati before, and I very much look forward to trying this one. So basically it's all about fast, fresh fermentations, things that take less than 2 weeks, alcoholic beverages that take less than 2 weeks. So I have a question. What temperature did you guys ferment the Sati at?
The fermentation? temperature is quite high, so you can say 1,000 minutes in Fahrenheit, but it's something like almost 13 in
Celsius.
Celsius, yeah.
14 Celsius. Oh gosh,
that's about almost 80. Almost 80. Almost 80 Fahrenheit.
Okay, yeah, that's what I suspected. Okay. Yeah,
that's why it's quite quickly. It's really short.
Yeah.
So how does it compare to other beverages that you guys have brewed?
Well, for certain alternate fermentations that she features in her book, you know, those are generally relatively high fermentations.
Yeah.
Or, you know, that higher temperature is good for fast fermentations.
There's a fresh beer in Vietnam called Bia Hoi that is also very fast and meant to be poured fresh.
That's pretty low.
What's the translation, Michael?
The 13 degrees Celsius is 55.5 degrees Fahrenheit.
So that's low. Yeah.
Mary, why didn't you put a tzatziki in your...
I don't know, man. You're making me feel bad, Jimmy.
I have a question about the yeast. I have a question about that yeast. You brought a brick of baker's yeast. At the brewery, do you recycle the yeast? Do you use the yeast again from batch to batch?
No. For tzatziki, we are not recycling. I get always a new batch because the only factory in Finland is situated on the same plant as the... where we got the malt out of. That's so easy for us also. We are picking up the malt and the yeast at the same time. And
right.
And my storage is on the wheels. That means that for the malt, so they are always fresh, and also the yeast is quite fresh also.
It's always fresh. And then going back to the stability of the beer, or you know, it's meant to be drank in fresh, I heard that sati is a no-boil method? After mashing,
do
you go straight to the fermenters, or are you boiling?
We are not boiling it, but we are heating it almost like boiling.
Almost pasteurizing. So,
yeah, to get and this was a new experiment for me because there is this cool sip. I've never used it before, and also the freezing system. I've never used it.
But, yeah, we have an external heat exchanger as well
at the OEC.
A Beaudelaire system.
A cool ship too.
Mm. That was but it's nice. It's working quite well. I'm using the plate exchanger and the idea is to get it so cold as possible, so quickly as possible.
Right.
Then did you use juniper branches for this?
Oh, that's nice also. But we used it, what we have collected, and we put them under the mass in the Lautertan, so really, and pump the whole mass over it to get the taste of the juniper in the world.
So it's basically kind of acting as an additional filtration system and also flavor.
Yeah, you can mean. Yeah.
That's great. Let's just circle back about some Finnish culture. So how do you say cheers in Finland?
There's kippis, and then there's the other one is this hölkyn
kölkyn. I like that. Hölkyn kölkyn.
It's quite
easy. Hölkyn kölkyn.
And when we drink it, do you drink it in a glass? Do you drink it in a mug?
Mm-hmm. No, it used to be, I brought it with me, two-handled vessel was made from juniper and with me, but it's not nowadays. It will be drunk from the glasses.
I see. There's a great little photo. We'll put it on the website. Lamin Sati. That's Pekka, right?
And yeah,
traditional outfit.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. I'm gonna take a photo of that, Mary. We'll put it up or something. You know, Finland's really interesting. I mean, we don't know much about it. Helsinki, right? Mm-hmm. It used to be border of Sweden and Russia.
Yeah, and I have also started 2 years ago a new pub brewery in the middle of Helsinki. It's called Brukeri Finland, but there we are not making any sahti, but selling to sahti also in small amounts. But Finland is we are still between Sweden and Russia, in
it's
the eastern border of the EU.
All right, let's make a toast. And I know, Michael, you guys brought a couple of beers from Be United, and we'll give a cheers to Mateus. We just did a show with him, and he brought the Ektagums.
The Ektagums Grand Cru, that's right.
And that's really great. And tell us, what style of beer is that?
Oh, that is a Flanders Red style from Belgium. So an old beer aged in oak barrels that's then mixed with a younger red ale, also aged in oak barrels.
Yeah, Be United has so many great different beers. I mean, George, you're new to the company. I mean, what is it like for you seeing this great portfolio of beers and also meeting someone like Pekka who's making sahtis?
Well, it's absolutely incredible, and I never imagined that this would happen, but it's truly an honor, and it's been an incredible experience so far. I've only been here for 3 months, so it's pretty amazing to be in the position that I'm in now and sitting next to Pekka,
Pekka, how did you meet Mateus, and when? What made you sell to the United States?
I think it was it came throughout the Michael Jackson, the beer guru, and because he has been writing from my Sahti, so almost 25 years or something like that. And Mateus contacted me, I think it was the first time, and he asked, is it possible to deliver to Sahti, and we make some experiments. But as Michael told, so it's very complicated because it had to be cold during the whole voyage, and that's really challenging.
Well, that's a good point. I know Michael Jackson wrote about Sahti. He said, the only primitive beer to survive in Western Europe. Is that true?
Yeah, I think what he meant is that it's the oldest style of the beer style. He says that it's a ring between Mesopotamia and nowadays. So that's why he like, and he wanted to come to taste it on the original environment. So we went to a smoke sauna and he drank it from this juniper two-handled barrel. And he was very happy to have
you. You drank with Michael Jackson.
Yeah. He has twice in our brewery, and I met him many times.
That's great. That's a great introduction. We're going to take a short break and be back in a few minutes on Beer Sessions Radio. Hey, welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. It's January 2015. We're doing a special recording with Pekka, the sake maker from Finland. We're in the back room at Jimmy's number 43. We've got some special guests, including Mary and Chris from Fermentabot. Mary, you have a question for Pekka.
I do. So I am very excited that, you know, I live in New York City. Everything I'm moving for, but I don't need you in the summertime.
Nowadays, not there is a little bit of dark malt inside, and how I learned is we are using also rye malt that is also it's giving also flavor for it and also color.
It's about 10% rye malt, right?
Yeah, five to 10.
Michael, you're talking more about the culture of Sahti.
Yeah, one of the things I found most interesting when speaking with Pekka last week and this week was that sake is still a very traditional product in Finland that's often produced by people at home. It's still like something that really people make in their own kitchens. And in fact, Pekka was explaining to me that they started a homebrew competition, right? Mm. At your brewery?
No, it's so that I'm the head of the Finnish Sahti Society, and we have been arranging it over 20 years.
Okay.
And that's meant only for the homebrewers, not for the profis. And that's very interesting because who is the winner of the game has got so many friends afterwards.
And how many people usually are submitting their sati to the competition?
I think it's 200 to 300 right. Together.
But, awesome.
And the final there is coming about 50 because they have been already selected as the final competition.
Mm-hmm. Chris, have you ever tried sati before?
I have not. I have not tried sati. I've tried sati-like beverages, like what Dogfish Head put out. Apparently, Six Point also hit their Mad Scientist number 19. They attempted a sati, and I don't recall tasting, but I know that it was here for a brief moment.
Did you try the Dogfish? It's called sati.
Sati. So it's a blend of it's a juniper with some tea. What was the tea they used in that? I forget.
I don't know, but
yeah.
But what did it taste like? I mean, it's juniper tea.
It's juniper, reminiscent of gin in a weird way. With that, I mean, that's a primary flavor component.
But in the sati that you make, how does and the one you're making in Connecticut that we'll have in New York City in a week or two, How does the juniper branches come through? Like what flavors will we taste?
No, it's not so sharp, you can say that, but you get some kind of taste that how in anyhow out of that. It's wooden taste at least, what I tasted. Of course, it was not yet ready. We just tasted it yesterday. And in the end, you can get it most of the taste when the yeast is going down.
This is one of the biggest challenges, in fact, to having Pekka here and trying to brew the sati. In Finland, juniper is something that's growing all over the place. From what I understand, you basically walk in the back of the brewery with a saw, chop down some juniper, and you throw it into the lauter tun. It's not exactly like that around Connecticut. Although juniper does grow in North America, it's not as prominent as in Finland. So we procured it from a shop in New York City that had some ordered for us. They were fresh-cut juniper branches, but I don't think they necessarily made the top-quality cut.
Yeah, Mateus was here last week, and he was carrying juniper branches in his car.
It was a shop.
To this regard, so the competition gets about 300 entries. And what do you judge to? I mean, how wide is the variety of flavor in different satis?
It's quite wide. So the color can be yellow until black, totally black, and also tasty. So that somebody is using rye malt and with barley, and somebody wheat malt. It means that it's quite big variety of the tastes also. But nowadays they are quite similar, at least in the end when the six best is selected, so you can't find it so hard to find which one is the best one.
So when they're saying the six best, so are they generally the same color, the ones that make it to the last six?
No, not exactly, but a certain area, they are lighter than the other areas, like in area where I'm born, so it's quite dark. It's odd to people. If it's yellow, so the people say, the color is not good enough.
So you have regional tastes.
Yeah, or yeah.
It's like a dialect of sati.
Yeah,
dark sati. So the one that you made in Connecticut, is that going to be a dark sati?
Yes, that is quite
dark. We like dark.
Like a chestnut color.
Nice. Chestnut sati. And what will the flavors be in this one?
I think it's good. We tasted it yesterday. Of course, it's not ready, but it was quite smooth. And you get the nose also for the like a very fruity banana nose, and it was very malty, of course, because there is organic gravity is so high, and so much malt used for the brew. As I recognize that it is sati.
It's a sati.
So when you're drinking your sati at funerals,
that's also possible.
What do you eat? What kind of foods go with it?
Usually, it's quite a. Quite, we can say the wild food, and you can say it quite heavy food, if it's with fat and so on, because it's belong to also the culture that you are serving local eating specialties on your area, and that means that they are not so light ones. They are not light.
So, like foods near you, what are the foods that you would serve with
salt? Oh, like a different kind of meat, of course.
Like elk or something?
Yeah, that's...
You eat
that's,
elk?
Yeah, of course. I'm a hunter.
I know someone from Ecuador. He's going to do a dinner here soon. He's going to serve a guinea pig.
Yeah. Right. Really? Of course, what? For elk and for the smoked food and meat also is good. And like you make it from the potatoes and different kind of... not so much vegetables, mostly. It's not so common. Especially for the older people and the men, they sort of thought, why to eat vegetables if there is a food but really it belongs to a table with the food, with celebration.
That's wonderful, Michael. So is it the case that beer importers just get Michael Jackson's book and they start going through and finding out which beers they can import? Is that how you do it?
I mean, Matthias said, and he spoke about it in the last show that we did at Heritage Radio, that was definitely one of the seeds of inspiration for our portfolio. Granted, every brewery that we brought in since then has not been stamped and approved by Michael Jackson per se, but the heart of the portfolio and some of the breweries that we launched with being those very traditional operations like Schneider, Reisdorf, and other German ones, Schlenkerla, which we spoke about at length as well last week, were...
And then today
we took those up from
now we're drinking Alvina. Is that in the Michael Jackson book?
I would presume to say no. That, I think, came after the Michael Jackson years. I'm not sure if he was still alive when we first started bringing in Alvin.
So what is Alvin Undressed? No, he was still alive. So what is this beer?
Alvin Undressed is essentially non-hopped brown ale, which is then aged,
it's just aged in stainless.
Do you know how long, though? 6 months, I think?
I'm not sure, yeah.
Did Pekka get a taste of it?
Yeah.
And Chris, do you have a taste of it?
I have not yet.
Alvin, is there any left? Because I want Pekka to tell us, what do you think of when you taste this, the Alvin Undressed? Or do you only taste... I'm sure you drink different beers, don't you? Like, what other beers are you drinking? But tell us how this tastes.
It tastes something like an old Sahti, really, but it's aged. But as I see, Sahti is always a fresh... And there is also how we make... Usually we make for the certain occasion. That means that the people who are making at home, so they have appointed about 2 weeks before they have the celebration. So they make it, they try to get it at the best moment when it's ready to drink. And when you make it something like 50 liters or 15 gallons, so that means that you have to drink it away quite quickly.
When we talk about sati going bad or too late, what does it taste like? What are the first signs that it's going bad?
Oh, it's getting sour, and of course it's drying. The it's still fermenting so slowly, but the sugar is getting away. So that means that it's you taste it's not, you can see not bad, but it's not sahti. It's not what we have meant ought to be.
So sahti will have a bigger body, for sure, undoubtedly. Medium.
What about making a lambic style beer? Is this a similar process to the sati, or not?
I think no. Yeah. I mean, no. The answer is no. It does get sour. So when you look up on Wikipedia sati, they talk about how sometimes because of its instability, often sometimes we'll think that satis are sour. And so, but I think that a lot of people are just keeping them too long and not drinking them in the right place. And so, when it gets to that point, it might have taken on some of the lambic cultures or cultures that are what make lambics.
I found
not intentionally is the answer there.
I found online a recipe for tzati, and I don't know, Chris and Mary, maybe look at it. What do you think of it? And we're going to ask Pekka, because you probably found there's a lot of variations and recipes that people post, right?
Yeah.
So what do you think?
I went to a seminar at the National Homebrewers Conference last year that was ancient ales, and sati was one of the beverages that they talked about brewing and that they served to us as an audience. So I haven't made it before, but no, this looks like a good recipe. So it's
Pilsner, Munich.
That's like a...
That's it.
20% Munich malt, right? 80% Pilsner malt. A bouquet of juniper twigs. I will say that it has a star. It says... Some ornamental versions of juniper may be toxic, so you would want to order your juniper or consult with someone that knows.
So maybe not at a florist.
Yeah, don't just trim it out of your backyard unless you know it's safe.
Right.
And then baker's yeast, preferably finished. But I can remember when I've had homebrewed sautés in the past, they did use a hefeweizen, hefeweizen yeast.
You have had people
try to make homebrewed
sautés.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So.
But I like the rye aspect of it. I mean, and how the rye, I mean, rye itself kind of will dance with those phenolics and both accentuate and dance, or like just have, they'll have an interplay that recipe doesn't have. So I wonder if somebody made that recipe, what you would think about it, Pekka, because it has no rye in it.
Mm-hmm.
Or even wheat, which is also up for grabs, and oats in some cases.
As I see, it's not necessary to have the rye malt, but I've learned to use it.
Right.
That means it belongs to our area also as traditional. So the other like in eastern part, so they are using a little bit, not at all rye, or they are adding some wheat or wheat malt. So it's acceptable, because to make a real sahti, so all the malt varieties are possible, but not adding sugar, that is forbidden.
Right.
A majority of it though being Pilsner malt, or is the base malt
base
barley?
Mm-hmm.
So just as long as like.
And then for the dark variations. What malt are you using to make it dark?
No, it's rye malt.
Because roasted rye malt,
it's quite dark. And okay. Of course, if you have too much, so it's getting too much flavor, and it's also has for the fermentation, it's not going so well if you have too much. That is always.
Do you grow the rye and other malts in your area?
Of course, they are all coming nearby us. So there's only maltery, Viking malt in our country, and they are collecting about 100 kilometers, about 50, 60 miles around the factory, and we are living on that area. So it can be that it's very nearby the malt is coming. In any case, it's so-called nearby product.
That's good.
As I told, so the farmers, they were growing their own barley, and they were smelting themselves also and drying them and keeping them out at homes.
So this is 100% local beer?
Yeah. And collected the juniper from the forest. You can also use baker's yeast, but also you can use so-called collected yeast. That means that you are recycling it.
And then, George, what's it like for you? You're taking a man from Finland around New York and Connecticut. You know, you do this a lot as a rep. What's that experience like for you? I mean, how are people responding to meeting Pekka?
Overall, the response to Pekka has been overwhelmingly positive in most bars that we've gone to. But it's also just been a lot of fun to wander around New York with Pekka. It's been great to have beers with him, and I took him to have some barbecue. He wanted an American meal, so we got some barbecue in him, and he loved it. But it's been absolutely incredible, and it's been a huge honor.
And what are some of the beers that he's been drinking in the States?
We've been having a lot of beer from New York, but we have also been drinking some Beavertown, which Bee United just started importing. We've been drinking everything.
Is there a beer that you really liked from New York that you can remember?
I like all the beers. It depends about so much of the occasion. Sometimes it's poor lager is okay when you are really thirsty, but otherwise I like to have new beers. And this was very interesting in Beer United, because the sour beers I haven't been drinking so much. And the saisons, they're just coming to Finland. Nowadays, the most popular beer is IPA all over, and it's so a wave, big wave about IPA in the world. But I hope it's going a little bit away, because it's I don't like too hoppy beers. And now the wave is so that you must add so much hoppies, and you don't get the malt taste or the beer taste at all.
All right, man. Well, that's the end of our second segment. We'll be back in a few minutes on Beer Sessions Radio. All right. Welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. This is Jimmy Carboni, and we're doing a special recording in the back room of Jimmy's number 43. It's January 2015. We've got Pekka, the sati maker from Finland, and we've been talking about, you know, the culture of Finland and that unusual brew. Chris and Mary here from Ferment About It, and Mary has a book coming out soon called Speed Brewing, which is available on Amazon pre-order. But I do want to ask her about some other styles of fast brewing, and she'll go into it. But my first question is, again, why is sati the recipe not in your speed brewing?
Right. I've been thinking about this. So I think, you know, because I did, for the beer chapter, I used a lot of recipes that I've been making, that I have a lot of experience with and I've been making regularly. And I haven't made sati yet, so I haven't had any experience. Also, you know, the juniper branches are difficult to acquire, so that can be challenging for some homebrewers in the U.S. particularly. So,
what are a few other different types of beverages that will be in the book?
So Bia Hoi, as we mentioned, that's a traditional Vietnamese fresh beer that's brewed with rice and brewed with a lager yeast that's treated as an ale. So it's kind of a sati relative. Also, you know, ready very quick. One of our U.S. fresh beers, fresh and fast beers, is called a Pennsylvania Swanky. And a Pennsylvania Swanky is another fresh beer. It's a low-alcohol brown ale that's brewed with an anise or fennel flavor. I have a Berliner Weiss, a Gosa, and then a blended, like a faux Flanders red that's blended with kombucha for sourness.
You mentioned Bia Hoa, and I've actually had it before. I was in Vietnam over the summer, and when I was in Hanoi, I had it on the street, and it was very odd because it had this odd green tinge to it.
Oh.
And it was kind of sketchy, to be honest. But, I mean, it tasted okay.
Yeah.
It was very drinkable. Is all I have to say. I mean, it cost the equivalent of 10 U.S. cents for a, like, very large glass. So, I mean, I was happy on the street of Hanoi, but it was certainly odd.
Yeah.
If you served it to me in any other context, I probably wouldn't be happy. But I did enjoy it in the moment.
Yeah. It's typically served fresh, but if you forget about it, then it actually has time to lager, and then it's also really great. So this is the beer that actually gets better.
We had a keg at home that we were just kind of sat on for a while, and it lagered very well. It held up very well for a low alcohol.
Interesting.
So again,
and I do have a Finnish beverage that's not a beer called Sima, which is basically kind of it was traditionally made with honey, so it's a version of mead fermented with lemons and honey. And so modern versions are made with sugar and lemon. And that's also a May Day beverage, right? That's in Finland.
Yeah, it's mostly drunk in 1st of May. And that is a traditional, that people are doing it for the 1st of May also at homes. But now there are also some producers who are making it also as professionals. So, but the way to make the real Sima is also to make the same way to make it like in, or at least the same kettles and the breweries. They used to do it before in breweries.
Okay. Mm.
And then, Mary, the unifying theme of your book is it's speed brewing.
Yep.
And what does that mean?
So fast fermentation. So most of the beverages can be done in 2 weeks or less. So it's for homebrewers that maybe are in between batches or don't have time to brew a full batch of beer, or really anybody that's just interested in fermenting a delicious alcoholic beverage.
So sati would fall in that category?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
And then what about other things, like kombuchas or...
Yeah, so I have boozy kombuchas, so alcoholic kombuchas, ciders, short meads, so low alcohol honey beverages, hard sodas, and then several international beverages like Sima.
Kefir?
Yep, kefir. Water, alcoholic kefir.
How do you make that?
You start with kefir grains. So kefir grains are related to a traditional kombucha SCOBY, which stands for symbiotic culture of bacteria and yeast. So these grains are basically a bunch of bacteria and yeast that live together in a cellulose matrix. So it's very natural. And you add those to water and sugar, add some flavoring, and they will ferment. Traditionally, it ferments very low alcohol, so maybe half, 1% alcohol by volume. But if you ferment, you also get a nice tartness, and you can pull a lot of flavors from fruits and veggies and herbs and spices that you have a hard time pulling from in other fermentations. Like strawberries, for instance, are very difficult to capture in beer. Kefir grains capture them absolutely beautifully.
Okay.
Then you can take that primary water kefir and hit it with some additional sugar and champagne yeast and have a delicious alcoholic beverage.
Wow.
I need to come to your house.
It's awesome. It's awesome. At one point during this book process, we had 40 different things fermenting in the house.
No.
Yeah. There was charts on the wall and everything.
I really need to.
It's been a very delicious time. Yeah.
Do you also make an alcoholic beverage with beets? Is there something you can make with beets?
Oh, you absolutely can. Well, you can make a traditional beet kvass.
Yeah.
That is traditionally non-alcoholic, but again, I mean, any kind of non-alcoholic or low-alcoholic fermented beverage, you can always make more alcoholic. So, yeah, you can do a traditional beet kvass, beet kvass is traditionally basically driven by lactobacillus, which gives a nice tartness. That's also what makes sauerkraut and that kind of thing. So you can basically juice some beets and, you know, ferment it with lacto and then ferment it with a clean yeast like champagne or maybe like an American ale yeast, I think, with some other sugar. Or you could, I've had some beet beers that were really delicious.
Does that retain the, so it, does fermenting it with lacto first retain the beet flavor when you then?
Yeah, and I think that would just give you like another layer of flavor and okay. aroma that you wouldn't if you just fermented straight up
right.
beet juice.
Right.
So, yeah. Okay. I mean, I think you could. It would be worth trying. I mean, beets, it would depend what you wanted. You could also, you know, depends if you roasted the beets first or for how long.
Right.
I've never had anything beet that was subtly beet. I mean, beets are pretty dominant flavor, like unmistakably beets.
You know, it beats you over the head.
Yeah, exactly. But I was actually, I had a beet beer at the National Homebrewers Conference last year. So I get this beet beer poured for me. It was at the Homebrew Club Festival,
yeah.
And I'm kind of standing in the middle of this beer expo floor, you know, looking at this bright pink beverage, and Charlie Papazian came up to me and was like, what is that? Where'd you get it? Can I smell it? I was like, of course. So, you know, it's very eye-catching beet beverages.
Well, in the homebrew judging, what category would that beet beer be in?
Specialty
fruit?
Beverage.
Yeah. Fruit, vegetable beer?
Oh, that's true, yeah. Actually, a beet beer. Or a specialty beer, depending what... You know, if you added anything else to it or what yeast you used, I would say.
Right. I mean, kind of between...
beat between the lines.
Yeah, right.
But for going back to... So, in Finland, Pekka, are there any other traditional... So, we've heard the sima, the sati. Are there other traditional beverages?
Not so much. I think the most beverage is beer, at least. And the most drink beer is lager beer, 95%. But now it's growing, of course, through the import and for the small breweries. But
one of the breweries that I know is Sinebrykoff,
yeah,
and the Porter. And I've had some Finnish expats ask for it, so we have it occasionally. What's that brewery like?
Is it
in Helsinki?
It's nearby Helsinki. It's the biggest, owned by the Carlsberg. It's part of the Carlsberg Group. But there are three bigger breweries, and so a little bit more than 30 small breweries, and the amount is growing all the time. But the market share is about 3% for the small ones.
Yeah. And what's the name of? So you have the Zati brewery, and you also have a regular brewery.
Yeah. The Zati brewery is Lammin Sahti, and Lammi means the place where I'm living. And then I have in Helsinki is Bryggeri Helsinki, where we are making almost same equipments what in Kasper Sutu equipments in like in
yeah, Bay United. Similar system to OEC Brewing at B&I.
Will you be importing any of those beers, Michael?
We currently have no plan to do so, but who knows what the future holds, Jermaine.
So it's a similar brewery as OEC. Tell them what the OEC brewery is. I don't know if you've been up there, Chris, but
not
it's a pretty special system.
Yeah, not since the brewery's been put in.
Yeah, we built this brewery about a year ago now. I think like roughly a year ago the installation was complete. It's a Kasper Schultz system. I think it's 12 hectoliter is the capacity of it. Yeah, I'm pretty positive about that. The boil is all direct fire boil on the bottom. There's copper bottom. What else?
But they use computers.
210, yeah. It
is
not
like a fire underneath, but they have computers.
Sure.
Yeah. It's all electronic.
That's all
we have a copper cool ship and also a Beaudelet heat exchange system, which is one of those external heat exchangers. It's, how do you say, undulated on the sides.
You know, Chris, at 508 Casper, you work with a real kind of simple system.
Absolutely.
What's your dream system?
My dream system?
If you had to have a system you could design or buy from
scratch.
That's
all location specific. It depends on what location kind of ends up being. I will say that I did really like, and I do really like brewing small and often so as to be playful and just keep doing it. I love the act of brewing, the art of brewing, and coming up with recipes and making it happen. And being playful with that within a brewpub environment makes me very happy. At the same time, if it's too small, then nobody can taste it around. So I want something that's kind of moderate in size, probably like 7-barrel or even going into 14-barrel fermenters. What kind, be it, whether it's steam or direct fire or electric. I don't want to go electric anymore. I mean, 508 was electric using elements inside the heat, and it worked great. It was a great learning curve on that, but I think I want some. They're a little bit harder to clean than having just a straight up thing. Right. So I'm looking into direct fire going forward. And,
do you want to make an announcement on the air, Chris?
I don't have any announcements to make, except for that. Except for that, Mary and I are going to make some beer now. We're Kuzet Libations, we've established ourselves as, and we're going to be a Gypsy Brewing Company. And we're actually, as a company, we're just that as a name right now, and licensing the name where we brew. And that's in order to be able to play with other kinds of fermentation instead of just beer, and so that we can go and make some ciders and or meads. And so we're not necessarily getting a wholesale license yet. We do have a distributor through Remarkable Liquids for the time being.
Will you have beer for New York City Beer Week?
We will. The first
we're
going to
have this smash beer, and smash in this case is not single malt, single hop, but state malt and state hop.
New York State
so
malt.
We'll be using New York State malt that was malted by Valley Malt in Hadley, Connecticut, but grain was grown in New York, and then we're going to be using some New York State grown hops.
And will you be at the New York City Brewers'
Choice? Grisette. The first beer we're making is Grisette.
So. Nice.
Yes, New York City Brewers' Choice, February 24th.
We will.
Yep. With your smash, your state malt and state hop beer. That's really awesome. So you're making a Grisette first?
A Grisette. I mean, it's coming out during New York City Beer Week when we're all drinking a lot of beer, and we are big fans of small alcohol beers and something
sessionable ales.
Yeah.
What is a grisette?
Grisette is a light saison.
Yeah.
In general, this one's
like
going to be
like a
session
farmhouse ale.
We're calling this one a winter grisette because there's a decent amount of Vienna malt in it, and so it's going to be kind of on the darker Vienna and rye. Yeah, 50% Vienna, 50% rye, and 70% New York State two row.
Cool. That's great, man. Congratulations.
Yeah, grisette saison yeast and William Chinook and Cascade.
All right. I have to rush the show to the air so we can get the first announcement about Kuzet Libations. We have Pekka. Pekka. So, George, you went up to the bar at Jimmy's number 43. You had a challenge. You picked one beer that we're all drinking. What is it?
This is the off-color You Never Take Me Anywhere Nice, I think is the name of it, which is interesting. Is that not what... I think that's what it said on the tap handle.
They
so
say it's an unfiltered lager.
That's what
right.
That's our second taste beer
like,
to be.
Right. No, yeah, definitely, lager, definitely yeah. tastes like that, for sure. A Keller beer.
Really
is this like a lot of the beers in Finland?
Yeah, something
like an unfiltered lager, Keller beer. I want to know more about Finland. I mean, for you guys, how are you representing this project with Sati? I mean, you have to pick up the phone and Joe Carroll says, I'm there. You know, you can have the Sati at Spite and Dival or...
Well, it's unfortunate that the timing of the brew happened to coincide with this... faux storm that hit us on Monday. So there were a lot of people that were expecting to attend the brewing process, which was, you know, the most exciting thing about it, the fact that we were bringing here. This was the first time that we had a foreign brewmaster come and brew on our system. Now, granted, we're also brewing our own beers at OEC, but one of the other advantages of having this brew house was to have the brewers come from our portfolio and brew special batches here. It was unfortunate that most people couldn't make it up because of the storm.
I know you're like, yep, you're from Evil Twin.
Yeah,
Joe
they were supposed
Spiden
to come.
Dad, we were going to drive up together.
Yeah, exactly.
So it was kind
that
of a good deal.
Canceled. Yeah. But hopefully there'll still be a lot of excitement about it at the at bars around the city and in the immediate vicinity of the warehouse. I'm sure there'll be kegs of it going down to Pennsylvania, probably Virginia as well. I'm not sure if they'll make it to the West Coast per se, but New England for sure. And I don't know how much outside of that ring we're really going to send it again just because of the shelf life.
We need to have the Sati tracker from Finland. It's going to be fun. So
working on that app.
Second week of Finland, check out some of the good Brazil bars. Proletariat, Jimmy's number 43. We'll have a keg of the Sati, you know?
Yes.
Hey, we need some photos. So, Pekka, great having you on, man. Any final things you'd like to say to our audience? I mean...
Oh, just enjoy the beer, local beers, that's very important also, as I see that big beers, they are, it's okay that from the big breweries they are making good beers, but the local beers is the thing. I think it's in the future, it's very important to enjoy about the beers like that.
Great, man. And let's have everyone ask one final question of Pekka. Who wants to go first?
What's your favorite New York food? What was the favorite thing that you eat?
Like BBQ.
Barbecue. George, you have a question for Pekka.
Pekka, what was your favorite bar in New York?
Oh, I like all of them.
You have to say one.
The beer bar, especially.
Good answer. Especially in front of Jimmy, good answer.
Michael, what's your question for Pekka?
Did you enjoy your time in the U.S.?
Yes.
Do you hope to come back?
I will. Certainly, I will. Absolutely.
I think what you guys are doing at so the Bee United compound, Oxford, Connecticut, people can visit.
Yeah,
and so Mateus Hassan owns the OEC.
That's right.
The Order of well. Eccentric Boilers, right?
That is the translation.
And it's a pretty special little brewery there.
Yeah, the tap room is open on. I know it's set. Are they open on Fridays as well? Saturdays for sure.
Yeah, Saturdays for sure. I'm not sure. I thought that we were open on Fridays, but I'm not sure.
Have to check the
Google it.
Yeah, OEC Brewing.
Don't trust us. Google it.
Beer Sessions Radio from June. We did a show, and recently someone asked me about the most exotic beer destination, and I picked OEC in Connecticut as the place I'd want to go. You know,
or special beers. Yeah, definitely worth the trip.
And Mary, what?
The barrel room is insane.
That's technically Bee United.
Right. But I mean, the whole, it's part of the proper.
Absolutely.
We've also built two big greenhouses as well.
That's right,
and we're growing all these fruit.
Vineyard,
so,
right?
Yeah, there's a vineyard as well. Yeah. And that's all to sort of try to harvest all this wild yeast as well and get that into the beer.
Right. That's one of the.
Mary, do you have the last question?
I do. So, was there something that you ate or drank here that is going to inspire you in your brewing back in Finland?
Especially in United, all these sour beers, that was interesting because I told I've been drinking them, not much, just tasting, but never so many is what I have tasted, and that was very interesting for me, and new things also.
Yeah, George, do you want to say that bit about the yeast?
Yeah, so Ben and Tony, who is the assistant brewer, Ben is the head brewer at OEC and Tony the assistant, but they say that all of the beer brewed at OEC is meant to be semi-spontaneous, which is sort of a joke and sort of also true. They do pitch yeast, but what they're trying to do is harvest all of the local wild yeast in Oxford. So that's why we've started growing, obviously, vines for grapes and all of these fruit in these greenhouses, because we're trying to get the yeast from the skins of all these fruits into the air and ultimately into OEC's beers. That's why we also have a cool ship as well.
Yeah. That's great. That's so awesome, guys. It's a really great show. Again, thanks to our sponsor, Union Beer Distributor, who actually sells Bee United, and that's how we know you guys. My favorite beer today was the Ichtigam's Grand Cru, which was eye-opening for me, a Flemish Red. I'm definitely going to carry that more often. Really love what you guys are doing.
Thank you, Jimmy.
And we're just about to go and get a tour of the keg room. Jimmy's number 43 has one of the best keg rooms. We share it with Burt Castle and Stanley's, as Chris calls it, the Brewmuter Triangle here.
That's
in the
right.
East Village.
Triangle, that's right.
This is where the first homebrew club met, and Garrett Oliver was first making beers in the 80s. So here we are, 43 7th Street, New York City. Jimmy's number 43. We're the epicenter of craft beer in New York City, especially when Chris Kuzmi and Mary Izetta are here. So thanks so much for coming on the show. I'd like to thank all our guests, Mary, Chris, Pekka, George, and Michael. Michael Opolensky was our good buddy, and we really had a great time. Thanks to our sponsors, Union Beer Distributors, and thanks for joining me on the Heritage Radio Network. Thanks to our producers, Maggie and Justin, and our engineer, Jack Inslee. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next time on Beer Sessions Radio. All right. Woo!